This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. I trust the program encourages you and maybe even challenges you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries, all one word, .com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. This program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now today, our journey through the Bible, trying to give you a little context and an overview of the different books, brings us to the book of Galatians. We've worked through the first two books written to churches. Romans was written to the Gentile people at Rome. So in a sense, it may have been written to an assembly or a group of assemblies as well. But when we come to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Galatians, we find that Paul is really trying to deal with problems that have occurred in the assembly after he has left. In 1 Corinthians, sin had arisen, and there was pride, and he had to correct it. In 2 Corinthians, we find out that he had to defend his apostleship to them. And now we've come to Galatians, and he had spent quite a little time in this area. It's part of Turkey, and we find out that these churches were likely ones established in southern Galatia on his first missionary journey. As a matter of fact, Lystra, one of these churches, was likely where he was stoned. And so you would have thought that these would have been churches that would have been established in the truth and loyal to Paul. But it's interesting, as I look at these first three churches after, well, the first three letters, after we get through the doctrine of the gospel in Romans, it's quite evident to me that Christians who probably are really saved, how easily they are influenced by false teachers and how easily they are led astray. We're led astray before we're saved. We know that in Isaiah 53, we read, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. But all we like sheep have gone astray. Sheep follow the leader." I've told you the story before about the young fellow who was trying to learn how to subtract in a one-room schoolhouse. And the teacher had taught him how to add, but he couldn't seem to get subtraction. And so she said to him, "Johnny, let's assume that we have a fenced-in area, and there's four sheep inside the fenced-in area." Now she said, "Let's assume that there is a hole in the fence, and one of the sheep goes through that hole." She said, "How many sheep will be on the outside of the fence, and how many will be on the inside?" And of course, she was thinking that mentally he would have a picture of the situation, and he would say one on the outside, three on the inside. He would subtract one from four, and she would help him understand the concept of subtraction. But he didn't say that. Johnny said there would be four on the outside and none on the inside. And the teacher said to him, exasperated, she says, "Johnny, you don't understand subtraction." And Johnny turned to the teacher and said, "Teacher, you don't understand sheep." And so all we like sheep, we follow the leader. All we like sheep have gone astray. And as I've looked at the places in Scripture where Paul warns people about false teachers, first in Ephesus, back, I believe it's in Acts chapter 20, the last time he visits Ephesus. And then as we look at the epistle to the Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then as we look at Galatians, we see that people who have been taught the truth have easily been led astray, and that concerns me today because I believe we are still a kind of people. Christians are a kind of people who easily believe the charismatic leaders that come amongst us and try to take advantage of our simplicity and innocence in order to get followers and to get, in some cases, financial backing. So we need to be very careful personally that we are not amongst those who are like the Galatians who have received another gospel. And so in Galatia, if we were to read from chapter 1, verse 6, he says, "I marvel." Now remember, this is the area where he was first of all treated as though he were a god. And then when the Judaizers came in, they stoned him and cast him outside of the city. This was an area that was precious to him. And he says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." And then he goes on to say in verse 8, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." Let him be anathema is the word, but it's translated accursed. "As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that what you have received, let him be accursed." Now, the gospel that Paul preached was being perverted. Paul taught salvation by grace alone. Salvation by grace through faith. He did preach that good works would follow, and we've often gone to Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 to see that relationship. Ephesians 2, verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But then he goes on to say in verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you should walk in them." So now we see that salvation is by grace through faith. But there were people who were coming in to the Galatian churches, and they were teaching that Christianity was a sect of Judaism, and that a Christian must keep the Old Testament ceremonial law, particularly circumcision, and in order to really be a true Christian. But Paul makes it clear that now in Ephesians, we are chosen not in Abraham, we are chosen not in Adam, but we are chosen in Christ. That means Christians are now chosen to be God's chosen people, and Jew and Gentile are part of that new body that God is choosing to represent himself here on this earth. But those people are not a nation. They are a spiritual people that God uses to display his glory today. And so we have that truth of the body of Christ explained to us in the Ephesian epistle, where God has broken down the middle wall of partition between the Jew and the Gentile, and he has made of the two one new man, one new body. And so Christianity was not a sect of Judaism. And when people came in and told the Galatians that they must be circumcised and they must keep the Old Testament ceremonial law, Paul was really upset. And he says, "This is not the gospel that I preached unto you. This is a perversion. And those who preach it to you need to be anathema. They need to be considered a curse." He uses the strongest language possible to explain how perverted this gospel was. And he says again in Galatians chapter 3, "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith." And Paul emphasizes that In Romans, we saw that he said, the just shall live by faith. In Galatians, the just shall live by faith. And again, in Hebrews, whoever wrote it says, the just shall live by faith. Just do not live by faith and works. And sometimes when we minister to the Christians, a person could wonder if we really believe that we're saved by faith alone, because we keep saying, well, these people don't act like they're saved. Well, I think it's perfectly permissible for us to say that we're saved by faith alone, but faith does bring about a changed life. It makes us a new creature in Christ, and there should be an evident change in our attitudes. And so when you come down through Galatians, you find out that Paul contrasts the works of the flesh with the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you before, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, people whose lives are evidently taken up with those kinds of sins, they practice them. They aren't mistakes in their life. They are the practice in their life. They will not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit. And this is the contrast. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. So we have to be careful that we're not saved by works, but works are evidence of the fact that we've been saved by grace through faith. And sometimes that's a hard balance to achieve in the preaching of the gospel. In other words, when we preach the gospel, we want people to understand that they can be saved right now. They don't have to get good to get saved. But at the same time, we don't want to minimize the fact that when we are saved, we become a new creature in Christ. And our attitudes should change. Our attitude toward God should change, and our attitude toward our fellow man should change. We should have the fruit of the Spirit in Christ. So remember that salvation is faith in Christ plus nothing, not plus baptism, not plus the Lord's Supper, not plus circumcision, not plus keeping the law. It's salvation is faith in what Christ did for us at the cross plus nothing. But when we understand what Christ did for us, it's hard to believe that that's not going to change the way we look at life and the way we deal with our fellow man. So it's one thing for us to say they don't act like a Christian, but it's another thing to say that it requires us to do certain kinds of ceremonies or works in order to be a Christian. And in Galatians, the Judaizers were trying to convince the Galatians, who had been taught that the just shall live by faith and by faith alone. He was trying to show that when the Judaizers were saying, oh, that's not enough, you've also got to keep all of the Jewish law, they were perverting the gospel. Let us not pervert the gospel. Let us enjoy what Christ has provided for us freely through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us enjoy that. Let us preach it. And let us keep the truth simple and clear. And let us properly represent the gospel to those who hear us. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless those who have listened. Bless our lesson. Bless our country. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus. Just be with us as we commit ourselves into your care. In our Savior's worthy and precious name, amen.